Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's where we're going to be. Last week we covered verses 6 and 7, and we talked about remembering. We talked about having things brought to our remembrance. And we need to be reminded oftentimes, right? We talk about this all the time because we need to be reminded. I need to be reminded constantly of things. My wife reminds me all the time, not even necessarily spiritual things, but she reminds me a lot of times, hey, did you do this? Hey, do you remember you were supposed to do this? Or, you know, we need reminded because oftentimes we're forgetful. And this week for my family was a crazy week because we were trying to get everything planned for Saturday and we were putting our house on market. We're doing all these things and this week was just completely crazy. But you know what? It's okay because God is good. And he gets us through it, and everything works out according to his will and according to his purpose, and we were successful yesterday, so I was excited about that. So here's what we need to be reminded of, though. We need to be reminded of what is true. We need to be reminded of what this book says. We need to be reminded of what God says, not what someone else says. Not what the world says, not what the news says, not what the radio says, because we're reminded of that stuff all the time because that's what's flooded into our ear canals constantly and into our eyeballs constantly. But what we need to be reminded of is the Word of God. And we need to hold each other accountable to do that. We need to reach out to our brothers and sisters throughout the week and to do that, to remind us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 says this. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Verse 15, "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." We need reminded of that, right? Timothy had been, the scriptures had been invested in him from his mother and his grandmother and from so many different people throughout his life from a child, right? These children that we have in church today, what are we doing? We're investing the Word of God into them, not making them say a prayer at 3 years old that they have no idea what they're doing, but we're investing the truth into them and to each of us so that we can be reminded of that. The seeds that are planted work as reminders for the Holy Spirit to remind us what is true. Because, man, the Scripture is powerful. And it's given by the inspiration of God, right? And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. We need that in our lives. We don't need Travis telling us, hey, you're wrong. We need Travis saying, hey, what does the Word say about that? Tyler saying, what does the Word say about that? Jeff saying, what does the Word say about that? That's what we need. Not beating us over the head with the Bible, but reminding us to what we know is true. Because we know every word, every punctuation mark, everything inside the covers of this book are true. And we need to be reminded of that constantly. And we need to be held accountable. We don't want to be held accountable, is the problem. We don't like accountability. We don't like people getting up in our grill. We don't like people knowing our business. We don't like people trying to tell us what to do. But we need that. We need our brothers and sisters to come alongside us and to hold us accountable. We need those in our lives like Paul that will tell us to remember what we've been taught. And remember to think on what is true. We also need those in our lives that are investing us from our youth up, right? From our youth up. Normally, we know, we have children's church. They go, they learn the Bible in children's church. Right now, they're learning the Bible in church, y'all. And it may seem like it may be falling on deaf ears because they have headphones on and they're watching cartoons on their iPads. But you know what they're learning? They're learning great lessons. They really are. We were also challenged last week to be a good minister. To be a good minister, we have to be administering the right thing. We can be a minister of so many things in this world, but to be a good minister, we need to be administering the Word of God. We have to be a minister of the gospel. Yesterday morning, we prayed before we got started that we would have opportunities to share Christ with someone. And you know what happened minutes later? Before we could even get started and eating our donuts, an opportunity fell right in the laps of the people that were there. Moments after we prayed for that, it's like, wow, God hears our prayers. And God's about His business. It's amazing to see that. We have to be a minister of the gospel. We have to take opportunities to speak truth, even when it's awkward and even when we don't think people want to hear it. We need to have our focus on what really matters at all times. And oftentimes, yesterday, we could have been so focused on, okay, we have these tasks that we have to accomplish, and we don't have 20 minutes because we have tasks that we need to accomplish. No, really, all we have is the moment that we have right now, because that's all God has given us. And we need to be a good minister of that. Oh, how often we let opportunities go by that God places right in front of us, only to see them walk away, no different than they were before, knowing no more about God than they knew before. We have to be in tune with the Spirit. One must walk in the Spirit so that we're ready. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, unmovable in the Lord, serving Him. Let me read it, because I have it paraphrased there, and that's not the Bible. But the Bible is not paraphrased. Did you know that? 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you're doing something for the Lord, it is not in vain. It's not a waste of time. It is profitable. We need to remember that. We minister to these around us because we love God. And we love the souls of men. And we want to be a good minister of that. The question that we have, are you ready to be a good minister today? Are you able to give an answer to those that are without? Believers should be able to answer, yes, I am. I'm ready to give an answer. I'm ready to take the gospel to someone. I'm ready to speak to somebody about the truth. But oftentimes we're not equipped to do that. We're born again, we're saved, we're going to heaven, but we have no idea what this book says. We have no idea how to take this book and to tell it to somebody else. We're not equipped. We just simply can't because we don't know how. We as a church are in a great place with some great opportunities to learn and to grow so that we can go. Because that's how it has to happen. We got to learn, we got to grow, and then we can go. Because how are you going to tell somebody something that you don't know? We truly are crazy enough to believe 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. We're crazy enough to believe that. It says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We're crazy enough to believe that we can take this book and we can invest it in other people and that they can learn that and that they can go and they can do it too. That they can take the same book, the same scripture and apply it to their lives to learn it and to teach it to somebody else so that they can do it too. This has been happening for thousands of years. But are we applying this? Are we applying 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2? Are we really digging in and learning it, applying it, and teaching it? Are we taking the opportunities we have to grow? I know that it's been crazy over the past few months. And, you know, a lot of things have been put on hold. And discipleship's kind of been hit and miss. Our classes that we started, that were rolling in on Tuesday nights, got put on hold. But God's about to open that all back up. He's about to give us opportunities to continue to grow. But here's the thing, you don't need a class to grow. You don't need Tuesday nights at 6:30 with cookies and Pastor Tom. That's awesome, and we will grow through that. We have the book. We have a cell phone. We can call somebody with a question if we can't be around someone. But we use excuses. And we've used this coronavirus as a great big excuse, and I'm guilty of that. Here's the thing. This virus isn't going anywhere. What do? Just stop? Sit on our hands and wait for Jesus to come back? No, we continue doing this. The things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, we're going to keep teaching them. Those that have been taught to us, we're going to keep teaching those. What we learn from the Word, we're going to invest it into somebody else. The text last week warned us to refuse profane and old wives' fables. Don't listen to those made-up fairy tales and myths that are out there. But we have to know between truth and fable. We have to be able to decipher between the two. Because oftentimes fables are, man, they're so appealing to our ear, right? Because they're stories or fairy tales or myths or just made-up baloney. But man, it tickles our ear and we like to hear that. Because oftentimes we know the truth out of God's Word is painful. Because it's going to be like going to the chiropractor. And man, when he sticks his knee in your spine and twists your hips to pop you, it's painful. But what happens after that? It's like, well, that wasn't so bad, and now I feel much better. God's Word is the same way. It's going to be painful because it's going to adjust us. It's going to change us. But the result is great. We have to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We have to be a learner. And a good learner will always apply what they've been taught. And it's one thing to be full of knowledge. Maybe you're a memorizing maniac and you can memorize scripture like nobody's business. And it's all, your head's so big because you have so much scripture up there. But it's not going through the funnel and getting that 18 inches deeper to where it truly belongs. Because knowledge puffs up, your head's going to pop. We need to open the funnel, open the gate, and let it get into our heart, and let it go to work so it can change us. The Bible tells us knowledge puffs up, puffeth us up. I ended last week's text, we're getting there, I promise, with what we're going to start with today. At the end of verse 7. The end of verse 7 says, "And exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Paul says, hey, refuse this baloney, refuse this garbage, refuse this stuff that's made up, but, he doesn't say but, he says, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Know the between right and wrong, know between truth and false. So today we're going to start there and we're going to continue through verse 11. So let's read that together this morning. In verse 8 it says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach." Father God, I pray today that what we are teaching, what we are hearing, is your word. It's the truth from the scriptures. And God, I pray that we would be able to come away knowing more about that. And God, that we would take it and apply it and get out of here. That we would learn and grow and go. And God, I pray for this week that we would do that. We would hearken unto what you tell us to do. And we would be commanded to go and teach truth and not fables. God, I love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for this body of believers that are here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so oftentimes in today's society that we live in today, we tend to focus so much on physical appearance, physical this, physical that, physical health, and we forget completely about spiritual health, spiritual strength, spiritual stability. And why is this? It's because it's the outward appearance that we're so focused on. Man, I hate being fat, right? I need to spend more time in the gym and quit eating Pizza Glen so much. And then, you know what happens? Not with me, because I have no discipline when it comes to food. But you know what happens? As we become so focused on that, and so focused on our outward appearance, because we're worried about what people are going to think about us. Man, he's a fat lord. Or, man, he's really looking good. We worry so much about that we completely forsake God's word. And we become all consumed with bodily exercise and not spiritual exercise. Now, I'm not saying that we should not exercise. We should. I definitely should. But here's the thing. We have to have a balance, y'all. We have to have a balance. And we need to quit focusing so much on the physical and more on the spiritual. And I know we're going to talk about this. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We need to take care of it, right? So that we can live out these days that God has given us to the best of our ability. But what we need to worry about is what's on the inside, the inward appearance. Because you know what? We worry about the outward appearance because people could see it. But here's the thing. People can see the inward appearance as well. Obviously God can, but people can as well. People can see what's truly on the inside. How are you walking? What are you talking? You may be the most fit person in church today, but how fit are you spiritually? Those wives' fables could be telling you that you need to not focus so much. You quit spending so much time in the Bible in the morning and go for a 10-mile run. You're wasting time. Why do you spend so much time praying? Why do you spend so much time reading? Why do you spend so much time studying the Word of God when there's so much other stuff that you could be doing? This is what the world is telling us, church. We talk about Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 all the time, but let's look at it again. We need to memorize this scripture, y'all. You need to lay your eyes on this. And we need to remember. We need to be reminded. Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, the least you can do. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our body, it should be a living sacrifice. It's the least we can do. The thing is, the world wants us to be conformed. Be not conformed to this world. Don't worry about what people think about the way you look, the way you dress, the things, whatever. Don't worry about that. Take care of your body. We should do that. I'm not saying we should not. But what we need to worry about is being transformed. The spiritual side of things. We need to be focused on that. And we need to be focused solely on that. And when we get that under control, then we can worry about the physical side. Let the balance tip the other way for once. And then one of my favorite verses as I was going through discipleship is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you've been through discipleship and you've memorized this verse, hopefully you memorized it the way I did. And you can make your discipler like shake when they say, hey, do you have your memory verses for this week? And you say, what? That's how it starts. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not of your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This is God's. This is God's. This is not ours. He paid for this. Jesus Christ paid for this on the cross. The price has been paid. Now he resides in us if we're believers today. And Paul says, what? You don't know this? Oftentimes we forget. If you're born again today, you know Jesus lives inside of you. You are the temple. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? We need to take care of the temple physically, yes. But most of all, we need to be filling it up with the things that truly matter and the things that truly please and glorify God. It says to glorify God in your body and in the spirit. Not one or the other. The temple belongs to God. He bought it with the blood of his son. Jesus died for you. He died for me, so why can't we die to ourselves? Why can't we sacrifice the time that God allots us to focus on the spiritual stuff? Why can't we do that? Because we're too consumed with things of this world. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 says this. It says, "For me to live in Christ and to die is gain." For me to live in Christ, for me to focus on my relationship with Jesus and die to myself, man, that's gain. That's gain. But oftentimes we don't think of it like that because our time is short and we're like, I only have 24 hours in the day and I've got 28 hours worth of stuff to do. And only 10 minutes of it do I have time to allot to God. Or maybe you don't have, you know what, I don't have any time for you today, God. I'll get to you tomorrow. Maybe we'll double up tomorrow. And then it becomes another day, and another day, and another day, and another day. And before you know it, you haven't read your Bible all week long. And you're like, well, you know, Monday's a new day. We'll start Monday. And before you know it, you're one of those that's falling away. You're one of those that Paul has spoke of to us. You're one of those that are just falling away from God slowly. It's like a slow fade. You're drawing yourself away from your relationship with God, away from your relationship with believers. And before you know it, you've sucked back out into the world. And here you are, an alien, walking around in a world you don't belong in, walking around with people that you don't know. That's what happens. Why must we feed the flesh so much? Why must we give in to the lust of it so much? There's no excuse, because we have power. We have power. Just say no, right? I remember in like third grade when Kirk Cameron was the just say no guy, right? And I think that was who it was. It was all about saying no to drugs. Maybe we need to say no to our flesh. We have power, but we need to use it. Jesus Christ lives inside of us, and He forces us to do nothing. He gives us free will. But we have power. We have the creator of the universe resides inside of us as believers today. And we have the power to overcome anything. But yet we don't. And we don't tap into that power. 2 Timothy chapter 1, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." He gives us power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm going to read you some verses here real quick. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." I'm going to give you power so that you can go accomplish my mission. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. We know that verse. Somebody spew it out. Yeah, I can do all things through Christ, right? Which strengtheneth me. He gives me the strength to endure. He gives me the power to do whatever He sets before me. Whatever trap the devil lays in front of me, Christ gives me the power and the strength to say, "No, not today, devil." We can do all things through Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. You just need to write these down and go back and look at them. It says, "Now unto Him is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." That power has a desire to work in and through us. That power, sometimes we just let it lay dormant, but that power is always there. We need to tap into that power, because God can do far abundantly and exceedingly above what we ask or think. We limit that power. We put the lid on the Tupperware bowl and don't let it out. And we need to let it just explode. Anybody ever left a lid on the Tupperware and put it in the microwave? What happens? Poop, pops off. God is trying to do that in our life. He wants the lid to be blown off so that He can do exceedingly and abundantly far more than we can ask or think. We have so much power, but yet we don't use it. We have so much power, but we don't let it out. One more, Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Sorry, I'm rolling through these fast, but it says this. Strengtheneth with, let's back up to 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We have to know God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. We have strength because of his power. The creator of all things wants to use us for his glory. Well, we don't let that happen all too often. We don't. We need to let go and let God. Let him be God. Let him have it all. Struggling with not being able to just have one donut. Struggling with not being able to say no to our flesh. Struggling with not being able to overcome things in our life. It's because we're not letting God do it. Ask God to quench your hunger. Ask him to be able to say no to sin. Excuse me, ask God to give you a hatred for it. Can't walk in the Spirit? Feed it. That's the problem. If you can't walk in the Spirit, it's because you have no power. You're not feeding the Spirit. It's weak. And we know God is able to do abundantly and exceedingly above anything that we ask or think. But here's the thing. We suppress the Spirit. We starve the Spirit. And then we're like, oh no, I'm in a mess. What do I do? I can't remember. Because we're not feeding the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, you can turn there. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. I'm going to read 1 through 13 here this morning. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the... we have to see this. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is the enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Remember that. You're walking in the flesh, you will bring no honor, no glory, no pleasure to God whatsoever. In fact, you're grieving him. But verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh. Remember that, church. You are not in the flesh anymore. The flesh is dead. But we dig it up and we put it back on and we walk around like zombies. And we can't figure out what's going on. You're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Maybe you're lost today. Maybe you have no relationship with Jesus. Verse 10, and it is Christ, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your nasty, rotten, no good, mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's God's power. He brings life into the death. He changes us. He makes us new creatures. That's his desire. And you know what? There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Well, you know, I can't do what I used to be able to do. There's a bunch of rules and a bunch of regulations to be a Christian, so this is not for me. What? We have liberty. We have freedom, right? But that doesn't mean that you need to be doing what God has delivered you from. God replaces all of that garbage with a new life in Christ. Believers are not to walk after the things of the flesh. Want to live a spirit-filled life with purpose? Then walk in the Spirit and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Mortify the deeds of the body. Kill them. Quit letting the old man try and come back to life because it's dead. And we need to remember this verse, Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. For he, remember this. Go to Galatians chapter 6, 8 and highlight this. Because it says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall reap, or shall of the flesh reap corruption. You spend all of your time investing things for the flesh, feeding the flesh. Guess what the crop's going to look like? You keep planting seeds to the flesh. Guess what's going to sprout? But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What are you investing? What are you pouring into your life? What are you doing? What are you planting? What are you investing? What is your focus? What is your time and your talent and your treasure being invested in? Bodily exercise profits little. Guys, this isn't really a get-out-of-jail-free card to not have to go to the gym or exercise, but just remember that. Bodily exercise profits little, but godliness profits unto all things, church. To things that are going to last forever. This body, short time. Take care of it as much as you can, but don't be so over-consumed by the things of this world on the bodily exercise. Maybe we try and quit being bodybuilders and become kingdom builders. And that starts with each of us focusing on our own walk. Focusing on what God places in front of us every day. We are promised life now, this day. Today, we are promised this because we're living it. But far beyond that, we are promised life everlasting, believers. Eternal life with Jesus. In verse 9 in our text today, it says that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Meaning this is a true statement. We learned that in youth on Wednesday night. Paul was not making things up as he went. He was crazy enough to believe Jesus who he was who he says he was, and he was crazy enough to believe that God was going to use Paul to speak the word. God used Paul in a mighty way. We know that. We read the scriptures. We know that God was, he was special, and God used him. Here's the thing. He wants to use you just as much as he used the Apostle Paul. Though that we have the complete word of God, you're not going to get to be an author of God's word, okay? But you can be a proclaimer of it, which is just as important. Don't discount the fact that we get to take God's word, the preserved, holy, perfect word of God, and we get to take it and be a proclaimer of it. How important is that? How are people going to hear without a preacher? How are they going to go unless we're sent? How are people going to come to know Jesus if we don't tell them about it? Paul was just a willing dude. He said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. We need to be willing. Are you willing today? Are you able? Again, this boils down to being trained up. We can offer 75 classes a year, and a small portion of people will sign up for those and want to be trained and want to learn and want to grow. You have to have a desire to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And truly, why would anybody in this room, anybody today, say that, you know what, I don't want to grow. I don't want to know more about God. We should have a hunger. We should have a hunger for God's word, and we should want to grow, and we should want to grow closer to him. But yet churches are packed this morning at this very moment full of pew fillers, so that they can get their fix for the week. That's what's sad. Verse 10, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to those that believe. And this verse can be a bit confusing. And if you study this verse and you look at any kind of commentary or anything like that, this verse can be used for teaching like universalism, like all men are one day going to be with Jesus. All men are going to end up in heaven. And that's not true. We know that. We know that aside from a relationship with Jesus, you cannot be saved. You cannot end up in heaven. The text says the word we in it. Especially of those that believe. But it says, for therefore we. It starts with that. Who's Paul talking to? We have to remember the context of the passage. Paul's talking to Timothy. Timothy's a believer. Timothy's shepherding a flock there in Ephesus. He says, hey, believers, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. He is not speaking to the world. He is writing to Timothy, who is a brother in Christ. We both labor and suffer reproach. We serve the Lord, and oftentimes we suffer for it. Just because we're new creatures doesn't make us immune to the attacks that bring reproach from the devil. We are enemies of his, and he's out to try his best to seek and destroy us. We know that. But we don't submit to him anymore. We resist him. He will flee. He uses all kinds of crafty devices to try to distract us, to disrupt us, to destroy us, believers. Why do we labor and suffer for the Lord? Why would we want to suffer for the Lord? It goes back to being our reasonable service. Tyler asked a question yesterday morning. I already had this done, brother, when you asked that question. But I was just like, man, that's so profound that God would do that. He said, he asked us a question, those that were there for devotion yesterday morning. He said, why do you serve the Lord? And that's a question that we should all ask ourselves. And that's a question that we should all be able to answer. And all of our answers might not be the same. We had several different answers yesterday morning. All great answers. None were wrong. But why do you serve the Lord? Maybe today you're not serving the Lord. Why are you not serving the Lord? But why do you serve the Lord? Maybe you need to write that question down. And maybe you need to think about that. When Tyler asked that question yesterday morning, I'm like, man, that's a great question. But simply, it is our reasonable service. Oftentimes, people today, because of TV preachers, think that if we say this prayer, that we're going to get the best life. The best life now, right? That's not true. That's false. Because the Bible's very clear that those that love God are going to suffer persecution. If this is our best life now, heaven must be a pretty terrible place. Because this is not a good place. We know that. What we have to look forward to is eternity. We get time on this earth to serve him, to tell people about Jesus Christ, to glorify him, to grow close to him. But he's preparing a place for us. And it's perfect. And it is the best. And I'm sorry to burst your bubble, this is not your best life. If you're born again today, you know better than that. Jesus suffered. Why would we not suffer? You live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. We serve Jesus, and it's going to be painful at times. We're going to suffer reproach. But if we trust in the living God. We trust in the Savior of the world. Jesus came to save sinners. He came not for a select people group. He came for the world. And it's the world's decision to believe it or not. He came to offer salvation to every man. Will every man accept this? Not for us to decide. What we do need to decide is if we're going to labor and we're going to serve the Lord or not. Are we going to follow him or are we going to sit out? Paul ends this verse specifically to those that believe. The believers who serve the Lord. though the so-called American Christian today that is working their way to heaven by doing good things, that think one day, you know, I'm going to do enough good things that God's going to say, man, you're a good person. Thank you for doing all that. Come on in. They're going to have a rude awakening. We are called to be doers after we're born again, because the work's already done. You cannot do anything to gain salvation. Those so-called Christians aren't serving the Lord. They're doing it for something in return. They're doing it for, man, I'm going to heaven. I did 7 good deeds this week. There's no way God won't let me come to heaven. The world needs to be awakened. And who's going to stand up and do that? We are, church. And it better be us. It better be the believer that makes a stand with the truth, with the pure gospel. Not another gospel that tailors to the hearer. Not man's words that tickle the ears of the hearer. But we labor and suffer because we believe that Jesus will get us through this life here on earth. We labor because we love Christ. We labor because it's what we do. We serve Him because that's what He's called us to do. Christ died for us. Why can't we serve Him? Why can't we be all in? Because it's painful. And it's hard. And because it takes up so much of my time. But you could make a list of 7 million things. And I'm not talking about ministry, y'all. I'm not talking about teaching Sunday school class. I'm not talking about greeting at the door. I'm not talking about anything but serving Him with your life. And you can come up with a million things, right? Well, this is all my list of things I have to do. And it does not measure up to a hill of beans compared to serving the Lord. Why can't we do it? Why can't we suffer persecution? Why can't we suffer the flesh? Verse 11 wraps up, we're done. Wraps up with these things command and teach. What are you teaching, church? Are you teaching wives' fables? Are you teaching false? Are you preaching a false gospel? Are you just teaching things about this world? Paul was not the one telling Timothy to do this, it was the Lord. He says, these things command and teach. Timothy, remember what you've been taught. Remember what is true, this faithful saying. Remember that. We are commanded to go ye therefore and do what? To teach. To enlighten this world. Go out into the world, church, and enlighten. Bring knowledge to the unlearned. Bring the truth to the ones that don't know it. Be a reminder to those that do. Because that's what we're called to do. Go out and teach truth today. Go out and be a doer. That's what God wants us to do. So how's your fitness? How's your fitness? Outwardly, mine is not good. To be frank, I don't have time, I'll be honest with you, to worry about running on the treadmill. I sold it. I'm like, it's taking up spot in the garage. Sell that thing. I don't have time for it. And I can be lazy, but I don't have even time to be lazy. We need to be focused. Not on work, not on things, but on God. We need to turn it from worldly things to spiritual things. Turn it to what truly matters today, church. Because our time is short. Not only are we at stake, there's souls at stake. And many around us are at stake. And we need to live godly today, church. We need to suffer some persecution. It's going to make us stronger. It's going to make us dig in deeper. It's going to strengthen our relationship with Christ. Because He will not call us to anything that He won't get us through if we just trust Him. Remember that. We need to live today like it's our last one. Because it could be, very possibly. And here's the thing. Shorty said something so profound at youth the other night. We're going through the gospel course. And I look forward to taking you guys through it as well. But we were talking about how oftentimes when we have preconceived notions about what people are going to say or think when we go to share the gospel with them, and we get those things in our mind, and or we think, well, this person's not going to want to hear it, so we just let them pass by. And Shorty just said something so simple, and he's like, what if they're waiting for us to tell them that? I'm like, man, out of the mouths of babes. What if they're waiting for us to be the messenger? What if we forget about all the all those preconceived notions of what are they going to think of us, or what if they already think they know everything, or all that? What if we just focus solely on, man, let's just go and be a messenger, because they're waiting. The whole world is waiting for us to deliver the truth. They're waiting for it. They might even not even know it, but maybe they do. And maybe those seeds have been planted so many times, and we get to be there, to be the witness, to be the one that says, man, can I share truth with you? And they're like, I've been waiting. We don't know where anyone stands, so speak up today, church.